Like Germany and many other countries around Europe, Denmark is having its own struggle with the arrival of migrants, but it's taking more drastic measures to deal with it. Tuesday, the parliament there approved a new law allowing police to seize the assets of asylum seekers. The stated goal here is to raise cash to help pay for the added burden the migrants place on the Danish welfare system. But the bill also makes changes to residency laws. It shortens temporary permits, makes them harder to get, and requires refugees to wait 3 years before applying for their families to join them in Denmark, which is one of their rights under international law. So why the draconian new measures in a country that prides itself on openness? Here to talk about the political and economic reasons behind Denmark's new laws is Jacob Kierkegaard. He's senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics and a Danish national. Welcome to the show, Jacob.
Great to be here.
So first, what are we talking about here? Seizure of things in your luggage, like jewelry and watches, computers, or are we talking about going into the bank accounts of people electronically and getting money?
Well, I think it's a little unclear at this stage. There is a threshold level. In principle, you can seize anything above $1,500, roughly, as well as items that do not have affection value. I mean, you know, you can't do wedding rings and things like that. But what that means in practice, I think, is highly uncertain. And this is one of the main critiques of the law, is that how is it going to be implemented? Because the people who will actually be doing these types of assessments, they may have no real way of knowing what the value of specific items might be. But I would also say that I think we should tone down the financial aspect of this law, because I don't think anybody is under any illusions that you're not going to be raising significant funds from this. This is a law that is something implemented as a political signal to refugees to basically not bother to show up in Denmark in the first place.
One of deterrence, in other words. Don't bother.
Yeah basically. And it's essentially a measure taken by the Danish government because they have been thinking about how to reduce the inflow, obviously, and they have chosen not to implement, you know, a quota on the number of asylum seekers or institute very heavy border checks, which you've seen in other countries. So what they're trying to do here is basically send a different type of signal saying that, look, you can come, but if you come, you must be aware that you will have to wait up to 3 years to have family reunification, or if you bring lots of acid with you, we will take them, or potentially take them.
Well, this sounds then like it might be a way sort of for the Danish government to have it both ways. Domestically, they get to keep their tradition of being open and not limiting the number of asylum seekers, but they broadcast a message back to Syria or Iraq or wherever it is that you're going to have your possessions rifled through and potentially lose them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is a way for the Danish government to try to achieve or maintain as open a border as possible so as to avoid, you know, interfering with cross-border economic commerce or the freedom of movement of, you know, native or existing residents. But at the same time, of course, minimizing, but hopefully they're one of you, minimizing the risk of being swamped, as they would probably express it, by a very large number of asylum seekers.
You talk about the fear of being swamped. I wonder what the sort of internal debate or concern is with Denmark when it comes to assimilation. Again, this is a country with a self-imposed culture of openness that welcomes migrants. On the other hand, like many other countries in Europe, major concerns about integration and about cultural identity.
Yeah, I think there are two major elements here. One is the issue of the cultural identity element, where clearly there are significant parts of the Danish population who feel that the numbers are just too great, that there is a risk that the traditional culture is being undermined or at some abstract level under threat. But I think the driving force of this particular law, however, and very importantly, the very broad political support that it received in Parliament, is actually mostly financial. because in Denmark, which of course is a country that is already among the highest taxed country in the world, the issue of the cost of accepting all these refugees looms very large. That is because the question is invariably, well, do you expect these refugees to be there just temporarily, or do you expect them, in fact, to be permanent residents of the country? Because if it's the latter, then the cost for the government goes up potentially quite dramatically in terms you need to have lots of training, language, and other things, skills, in order to be have a realistic chance of having a job and earning wages, and therefore also, of course, ultimately paying taxes into the Danish welfare system.
But of course, Jacob Kierkegaard, Denmark is a country that has had difficulty with integration in the past, particularly, frankly, with Islam. I mean, this is a country that had its embassies burned, that had riots and newspapers attacked after the publishing of cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad. But you say this is not about that as much as how do we pay for it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying that, no, certainly the cultural identity issues surrounding particularly large-scale immigration from the Middle East, there is that element. But I think particularly, and this is something that's not just Danish, but I mean, if you look at the traditionally relatively welcoming parties towards immigration on the center-left in Denmark, the Social Democratic Party, they have switched very dramatically in the last couple of months their political position and have now moved towards a much more sort of hostile position. And they have supported this law. And they have done it very explicitly because they have said that, well, we do not wish to make cuts in our existing welfare states for welfare state services for our existing population in order to cater for very large numbers of refugees.
Well, the doors are open in Denmark for refugees and asylum seekers, but it appears under a new law there's a pat down before you can get in the country. Jacob Kierkegaard, senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.